Let us now listen to God's holy law as we can find it in Exodus 20, reminding also that the only one who ever kept this law perfectly was Jesus Christ himself. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above or that is in the earth beneath or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor. We're going to listen to God's word from Psalm 19, first of all, and then Romans 1. Psalm 19. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. There's no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Their line is gone out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them hath he set a tabernacle for the sun, which is as a bridegroom coming out of his chamber, and rejoiceth as a strong man to run a race. His going forth is from the end of the heaven, and his circuit unto the ends of it, and there is nothing hid from the heat thereof. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart, and the commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold. Yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned, and in keeping of them there is great reward. Who can understand his errors? Cleanse thou me from secret faults. Keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then shall I be upright, and I shall be innocent from great transgression. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my Redeemer. Let's now turn to the contrast. Here's someone who revels in God's word, in God's creation. But now the contrast. Romans 1, starting at verse 18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Because that which may be known of God is manifest to them. For God hath showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that, when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man and to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. Wherefore, God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lusts of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshipped and served the Creator more than the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause God gave them up unto vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the women, burned in their lust unto one toward another. Men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves the recompense of their error, which was meet. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind, to do the things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who, knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. What a contrast. May Psalm 19 be our portion this morning. Dear congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, during this vacation time, many of us visit places here and there and other places and everywhere. And often we go to places to enjoy sunshine, whether it's on the beach, perhaps, the sun is blazing and hot, or whether we sit on the deck and we watch the sunset with all its beautiful hues and colors. What a glorious creation the sun is as it shines, just like the Word of God, with radiant beams of light. That's the message of Psalm 19. It shows us the two ways we can know about God, and we can know God, creation and revelation. And we also read this morning from Romans 1. What a contrast. There we see also that we can know God indeed from creation, that there are these little sparks in our hearts that are still after the fall, showing us something around us about who God is, his power, his Godhead, his deity. But it shows us also a deep reality of how wicked and depraved we are by nature. That we don't like that, to see it. Because we make of these things our idols, and we use our bodies for immorality, for unthankfulness, uncleanness, and unnatural relationships. And we don't like, and we don't drink in the, or bathe, as it were, in that beautiful, powerful word of the Lord God. There are these deep sparks in our hearts, Romans 1 shows. Every creature can see in creation that God is indeed God, and it renders us inexcusable. Every creature sees something of who God is. We all know that our consciences tell us that sin makes us worthy of death. Yet many continue in that darkness. And maybe you are here this morning in that darkness and you say, What do I need? You need the Word of God. You need to see that the creation shows us that there is indeed a marvelous, powerful God who is generous, who sheds upon us of His generosity all kinds of blessings every day, who is patient, who sustains this world, and who sustains your rebellious life if you are still not in Jesus Christ. And that's why we are going to listen to Psalm 19. There we see someone who is reveling in God's Word. There is someone who sees the light. And Psalm 19 speaks into the darkness of your soul. May it be so this morning. It shows us the glory of creation. It shows us the powerful rays of God's Word that go deeper than creation and say more than creation. It speaks about those two voices, nature and grace. Let's consider this psalm together, and let's take as our text, with the help of the Lord, verse 6c, which says these words. It's the key to how we understand this psalm. And nothing is hid from the heat thereof. So our theme is rays of God's glorious light. First of all, rays of the sun. Secondly, rays of the law. And then third, rays in the heart. So as we said, in creation we see something of God's beauty, His glory, His power. And when we are outside these days, we certainly should enjoy that. We should take in as much as possible. There is the redness of the sun when the sun sets. There is the roundness of the moon, the whiteness of snow, not now, but we know that. The wetness of rain, the blueness of the skies, the buzzing of the bumblebees, the invisibility of wind. What is it? Can you count the numbers of the grains on the sand, of the thousand beaches? What about that crashing, never-ceasing, countless waves of oceans and lakes and rivers? What about those millions of gorgeous wildflowers? And some are in places where no one sees but God. What are they doing? They are shouting at us. God is glorious. God is beautiful. And David, as a young shepherd who wrote this psalm, was often found in nature. And it's clear that he had a keen eye for that. In Psalm 19, it shows it. A keen eye for nature, a keen eye for what God has made, and how fitting that is for all of us as Christians. To see God in creation, His beauty, His glory, His power, and nature tells us something about God. And therefore we should have our eyes wide open every time we go outside. Even after the fall, and even after the flood, there's so much beauty to behold. So much glory. And how good it is to think about these things. To look at nature and to think and ponder and meditate. And that's actually what David is doing here in Psalm 19. In the first 3.5 verses, David is observing and listening to God's voice in creation. He's looking into the sky. And he writes, "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows His handiwork. Day unto day utters speech, and night unto night shows knowledge. There's no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Their line is gone out through all the earth, and their words to the ends of the world." So David is peering into the sky, perhaps clouded, perhaps dark, perhaps with twinkling stars, perhaps with the beating heat of the sun. David sees it very clearly. There is a message here from the skies. Yes, there is. The heavens are speaking loud and clear to each and everyone. The order, day and night. Vastness, stars, galaxies, far away. The clouds, look at the clouds, the changeableness. But also the unchangeableness of the stars at the same time. The power of wind and rain before which we can be powerless and seem to be out of control. We've seen it these last weeks. Rain. And the farmers thought, how do we get this crop in? All these things have to say something to us. They say to each of God's creatures on this planet, there's something more. It's God. There must be a creator. It's a voice that is silent and yet it's heard, the psalm says. It's heard as soon as one looks up or around. And for every believer, it says, there is a God. The heavens declare the glory of God. Firmament shows His handiwork. So what do we see? We see God's hand there. His beautiful hand. And you look at the sky, there's a glorious artist at work. The one and only creator. Beauty of and glory in the changing hues of light. And we see it, as it were, the finger of God there. Of this glorious artist. And the heavens, as it were, and this world is, as it were, his canvas. And he fills it. And he shows also, as a great and mighty king in creation, his power. The control over wind and rain and storms and thunder. It's the voice of a great and mighty king. And we see his hand move in all those wonders of the weather. And David considers this beauty and power, and so should we. He then suddenly focuses on one aspect of creation, and it's the sun. Verse 4c. And that's what he doesn't let go till the very end of the psalm. He's talking about the sun. At least that's the picture in his mind. He writes in verse 4c through 6, in them, that is in the heavens, has he set the tabernacle for the sun, which is as a bridegroom coming out of his chamber, and rejoices as a strong man to run the race. His going forth is from the end of the heaven, and his circuit unto the ends of it, and there is nothing hid from the heat thereof. So the sun, this glorious ball in heaven, this radiant, beautiful light. How beautiful it is, radiant, powerful, and it's penetrating. And that's those are the things that David uses throughout the whole psalm. It's radiant, it's powerful, it's penetrating. Think about it, it's radiant. He uses this beautiful picture of a bridegroom. Now, when the Jews were going to get married, they had a wedding pavilion. And it's just the idea of a bridegroom who comes radiant, beaming. I'm married. He's made a covenant with his wife. He's radiant. And David says, more radiant than such a bridegroom is the sun shining. It's like a joyous athlete who wants to run the race that is set before him. That's what the sun does. It's powerful. It runs the race that is set before him every day. That's what the sun does. And it's penetrating. The heat reaches to everywhere in the earth.
The eastern sun can be brutal. It can be all-piercing. It can be all-detecting. The heat can be overwhelming. But it can also bring these blessings of warmth. And those are the ideas that David uses also when we move through this psalm. But first, as we think about this first part of the psalm, it encourages each one of us, wherever we go, to keep our eyes wide open as we are outside in creation. Wide open to see God's handiwork, to then also be thankful and to have it bring in us praise and adoration. Is that what we do when we are outside? Is that what we remind ourselves of? How often do we need to remind ourselves? It should come naturally, shouldn't it? Is that also what we do with our children when they are with us and teach them, look, how beautiful, how glorious, how powerful God is. How beautiful is creation. When we are in creation, are we scanning around us with our eyes for to see God's powers, to see His beauty, to see His blessings? For creation is speaking to all of us. That's what this psalm says. God is speaking to all. Creation is speaking to even the most hardened sinner who's never heard about Christ. They can see something of God's greatness. But we read Romans 1 and see how they suppress that truth. They hold it under. Hold it down. But we all know that creation cannot save us. We need a louder voice. We need a clearer sun to light us. And that's what David does. He goes in the second part of the Psalms, he meditates on nature, and he lets it lead himself to the Word of God, the salvation of God, the beauty of that Word, the power of that Word, the grace of that Word. And he sees a parallel. And we are going to consider that after we sing Psalter 37 about this first part of the Psalm. Let us sing along as we go through this psalm. The spacious heavens declare the glory of our God. 37, let us stand and sing. Secondly, the rays of the law. It seems that this psalm is abruptly changing subject if you read it just for the first time, perhaps. But there is a seamless connection in David's mind between the light of the sun and the light of God's Word. And that is what he switches to without telling us. So that we would meditate and think, what is the connection between verses 1 through 6 and verses 7 through 11? Let's read those verses again. David writes, "The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned, and in keeping them there is great reward." Now, children, think about it this way for a moment. The rays of the sun, all different rays coming down one by one. David is looking, as it were, he's trying to take one ray at a time and revel in the sunlight of God's Word. Or think about this example, a rainbow. Well, what does it do? The light shines, it hits water, and you see all those different colors suddenly. Red, orange, yellow, green, blue, indigo, and violet. That's what he's doing here. He speaks about those beautiful rays of God's Word. He first of all speaks about the law of God. That's more than the Ten Commandments. That's the five books of Moses. It means God's precious instruction and teaching for us. And he says that that Word of God is perfect. It is flawless. It's without mistakes. It's complete. It's all we need for life and godliness. And then he comes to the second ray and he says, God's testimony. That's another word for the Bible. This is the truth that is confirmed by God. His reminders in and around us that it is truthful. In the Word and around the Word, we see this is trustworthy. And when he shows us that he keeps his promises, that nothing of this Word is false, God's promises can be trusted. He says those testimonies are sure. They're reliable. You can rest your salvation on those testimonies. For time and eternity, your salvation can be sure through the Word of God. And then he speaks about the statutes. He speaks about the beautiful ray of the statutes of God. And he says, when God's statutes order us to how should we behave and how should we live. And these statutes, David says, they are right. That means they are morally right. Compare that to the chapter of Romans 1 that we read together. They are morally and ethically right. They are truly good. They are worthy to follow for each one of us. God's Word never encourages us to sin. And then another ray of sunlight. Commandments of God. Similar to His statutes. Those are the things that God speaks and He says, you need to obey those. They are pure, David says. They are radiant. They shine. The fifth beam here of light comes from the fear of the Lord. And here, what it says here, the fear of the Lord stands for the effect of what God's Word produces. It's the effect in our hearts. It brings the fear of the Lord. When we read God's Word with faith, and by the grace of God, it instills in us this awe, this reverence, this humble worship. Who is this God? I desire to serve Him. And such fear, David says, is clean. Because the Word of God is clean. Well, it's not corrupt. Like Romans 1. When things are corrupt, children, you know that, right? They decay. True gold doesn't decay. It doesn't rot. And so it is with the Word of God. It's pure. It is not corrupted. It is clean. And it brings into our hearts this uncorrupted fear of the Lord. And then the final ray of light here. The judgments of God. He knows your and my thoughts, and that's what He shows when you read the Word, and that's sometimes maybe when you shy away from the Word of God. He knows our actions. He knows our thoughts. He weighs them. And David says about that, it's true. It's true. When the Word of God, of the all-knowing God, speaks into our lives and He values our thoughts and our actions, we have to say with David, it's true. It's trustworthy. And all these rays of light, all together, they are righteous. They teach us what is right, no wrong. That's the beauty of God's Word. And that's what David loves to sing about. Is that what you love to sing about too? Is that what you have come to love in God's Word? Does that instill praise in your heart? Think about it in the darkness of this culture which we live in. And maybe also you have to say, that's lots of that is in my heart this morning. This culture shows this is how you are perfect. But it's never reaching true perfection. It comes with lies, deceptions, lies of pleasure and treasure, and with all its impurity, immorality, with lusts and desires. It's all but a facade of happiness. It's not true happiness. All the promises that this world made is all fake. It's going. As soon as God comes back, we will see it very clearly. May it not be too late then. How perfect is God's word? There's nothing like it. How sure it is. God keeps his promises. You can see it and read it over and over and over. How right it is. It's promise promoting holiness. Everything what is truly good and right. How radiant and pure is God's word. The commandments are truly good for each one and every one of us to keep. Every creature should keep his commandments. It's good for us. It's clean. It's not fake. It's true. You can trust every tittle and iota. Believer, what are you? Are we? And where would we be without this glorious light of God's word? We would be walking in darkness, pursuing our bondage and our lusts, having no light, stumbling over our sins without even realizing where we are going and where we are going astray. But maybe you say, I'm not a believer, so that's not for me. Is there someone here walking in darkness and has no light? Are you perhaps still falling and stumbling in your sins? Wallowing perhaps in your sins? You need the Word of God to speak into your life. And you need Jesus Christ and the power of Him only to set you free. And that's what the Word of God can do. Because it's not only a glorious shining light, but it's a powerful light. Secondly, under this second heading, that's what David shows here. The rays of God's word are powerful. What does it say? This perfect law of God converts the soul. When it shines in our hearts, it transforms us. It makes us repent and hate sin. Through the power of the Holy Spirit, we turn away from our sins and turn to the Lord. And that's what we are called to do again and again. Also as believers, we turn to the living God who can set us free when we come and see ourselves in the radiant light of God's word and say, Lord, save me. Is that what the word of God is doing in your life? Keeping you away from sin? Or are you ignoring God's word? Are you converted? Can you say, I'm not what I should be, but I'm no longer what I was. My hope now is in this word, in Jesus Christ, in his righteousness, his perfection. In other words, is this word making you who are simple, ignorant by nature, in darkness, is this word making you wise by God's grace? Are you learning the wisdom that there is in Jesus Christ, in Christ-likeness, in his commandment, in everything he says in this word? Jesus Christ is made unto us wisdom. It's God's wisdom to us. Do you now desire also to be right with God and to live a life that is according to the Scripture? Do you want to grow in the grace and knowledge and please God in everything? Do you recognize the power of God's Word in your life? Have you seen it perhaps in the lives of others and now you desire it too? Can you say by God's grace, there are times that this word really fills my heart with joy? A radiant ray of light falls into my heart. My joy is that God's statutes are right. They give me joy. They turn my sadness into joy. The world is hopelessly pursuing this joy, but never gets it. It never reaches the heart. This psalm speaks about that the joy reaches your heart, your mind, your deepest desires. That's the power of God's living word in Jesus Christ. It sets me free from the bondage and power of sin. That's the powerfulness of these rays of light. And you see the goodness in the commandments of God. It's also power. Verse 8b says it. Commandments are pure. They are enlightening the eyes. We need them. We need them. Just as someone is blind, who is blind, light cannot somehow get into the eyes so that you can see. That's how it works spiritually. Light needs to shine into our spiritual eyes so that we can see. And then we see its radiant purity, holiness. And actually that becomes attractive to us. That becomes attractive. I desire the beauty of holiness. I desire to serve the Lord. Now the word is so powerful that we desire that. It awakens in us this fear of the Lord, this awe, this humility, this deep respect. And that lasts forever, it says. It endures forever. It's clean. It's pure. It's holy. What an amazing word of God. And then those rays, they have the power to go to our deepest motives so that we sometimes even tremble at the word. It judges our deepest motives. But God loves us too much to let us go into our sins. This is the power of God's word. Do you know that in your own life? Nothing in the earth can replace this. Nothing. Can you say with David this morning, God's word is more to be desired than gold. Yea, than fine gold. When things are right in our lives, we see with David that God's word and Jesus Christ, the living word, is our greatest treasure. And what else? Sweeter also than honey in the honeycomb. This is the sweetest taste that the Jew had. It brings us great pleasure. So God's word is the greatest treasure. And God's word to David is the greatest pleasure. Is that how you look at God's word? If not, why not? Why not? What's the problem? What's the problem? Is it perhaps because when you see that God's word is judging you, you think that is God against me? Or are you just simply spiritually cold? And you don't stir yourself up to seek the Lord with all your heart and to please the Lord with everything in you? Or are you perhaps having low expectations in your Bible reading, as if God cannot speak to you, even when you have to confess, I'm blind, I'm deaf, Lord, speak. Or are you in a hurry? Not listening, distracted. No time to marinate in the beauty of this word. Now, children, how long do you stand by the fire when you're cold? You stand there till you're warm. That's what we need to do with God's word. Prayerfully pour over it till our souls are warm, till we see the beauty of God, till we see the beauty of Jesus Christ. Till we can say with David, this is my greatest treasure. This is my greatest pleasure. Oh, how often you and I have to complain. This is not how we deal with the word of God. And may God pardon and forgive us for all those times that we come with low expectations to the word of God. As if God cannot bless us through this word. These are blessing rays. Powerful rays, blessing rays, beautiful rays, glorious rays. Better than money, sweeter than honey, he says. And then he says, it warns me. It says, not here, go there. It warns me from the dangers where my heart gets into idolatry. And it brings great reward. When it truly functions in your life, already now the blessing of a clean conscience and true holiness, and one day the great reward of being with Christ forever. That's the promises of these words. These are the promises of the Word of God. That's the radiant light that it shines. It's perfect. It's sure. It's right. It's pure. It's clean. It's true and righteous altogether. It's powerful. It's precious. It's to be treasured by us. It's greatest of all blessings. And if you think about that, written word, living word, all true about Jesus Christ. He is perfect, flawless. He is the only Savior that you and I need. He is sure. He is reliable. You can rely on Him this morning. He is right. That means He is sinless, ethically perfect. He kept all the commandments of God. He is pure, gloriously radiant. In heaven, and one day, when He comes again, His radiance will be seen by each and every one. He is clean, God of God, and true and sinless man. He is true, trustworthy, yes, righteous altogether. This is Jesus Christ. This is the Savior, the Son of Righteousness, who came to die for miserable and wretched sinners. Are you one? He can shine in your heart to give you the light of the knowledge of God in the face of Jesus Christ through this word. What a sunlight. It penetrates deeply. Briefly, raise in the heart. In the last three verses of this psalm, you see how God's word penetrates. We saw that it was powerful, but now it penetrates into the deep recesses of our heart. David prays, who can understand his errors? Cleanse thou me from secret faults. Keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then shall I be upright, and I shall be innocent from the great transgression. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Now the sun, as we saw, in the Middle East, shines relentlessly. But even more so, the Word shines relentlessly. So it can be at times in your and my life. Nothing can be hid from the heat of this Word of God. It's like a two-edged sword going all the way into our hearts, doing this beautiful and healing work of soul surgery. That's what it does with David. Having considered the beauty and the purity and the glory of and the power of this word, the rays of God's law, they are glorious, they are good. He now speaks about errors, secret sins, presumptuous sins, great transgression. That means the light is shining. The light is shining. David knows he's a sinner. Do you know that too? Do you know that? The bend of his heart is off. And so he realizes, who can understand his errors? Who? Who can understand the depth of your depravity? How often, how deeply have you and I failed others? Failed. Yes, failures in this case. Not even sins. Who can understand his failures? The things that you didn't do willfully, but were sinful or hurtful to others. Wrongs innocently committed. Who can understand them? Can you? Well, that's not all. David prays, cleanse me from hidden sins. David realizes, do you too? David realizes that he is more sinful than he knows. Those hidden sins, those parts of our characters, they are deeply ingrained even in our personality. And David cries out, do you too, this morning? Do it. Cry out with this psalm. Cleanse me, O Lord. set me free from guilt and punishment. I deserve them. Is that your desire too? Justify me freely through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And then he goes to presumptuous sins. Let them not rule in my life, he asks. Those sins which we do because we are just simply stubborn and proud. You know what God wants from you. He's been saying it many, many times. But you don't want to listen. We don't want to listen. Stubborn, proud. And David says, Lord, keep me from those. Restrain me. Hedge in my way from those sins. Is that what you and I want too? Finally, David also mentions great transgression. Great transgression. You see it in light of God's word and you say, my sin is great. So, as the rays of the sun come down, as the rays of God's word shine, what happens in David's life? And is that happening in your life too? Prayer is going up. Give me understanding. Cleanse me. Keep me back from sin. Why? His desire. Lord, I want to be upright. I want to be innocent. I want to be pure. To be right with God through the word of God. Then my offerings, the words that I speak, the actions that I do, the meditations of my heart will be pleasing to God. Look what is happening in this psalm. It's beautiful. In the first verses, first six verses, he speaks about God once. God in creation. Light shines. God's word shines. The rays of the sun shine. And what does he see? God's word goes open to him. What does he see? The Lord, all capital letters, Jehovah. And that's the God we need. The covenant Jehovah who is merciful and gracious and long-suffering and patient and forgiving iniquity, transgression, and sin. That God. That's the God you and I need. And that's the God that David then also embraces by faith when he says in verse 14, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. O Lord, my strength, my Redeemer. O Lord, covenant-keeping God in and through Jesus Christ. My strength, the God who gives my life stability, power, and protection when I am full of darkness and sin, in a world full of darkness and sin. And the one who sets me free, my Redeemer. I was a slave to sin. Now I'm free. It's paid for in the blood of Jesus Christ on the cross. He saves from the darkness of the darkest of sins. That's why the darkness was so deep on Golgotha. He redeems, he pays the price. We are not saved by gold and silver or any precious things, but by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. My rock, my strength, my Redeemer. Whoever you are this morning, is this what explains your life? Is this what resonates with your soul? These holy desires. Maybe you feel God often. But you have this desire, this deep desire to embrace the Lord as your rock and your redeemer. There's this light of God's word shining in your life. You might even not be able to call yourself a believer here this morning. But if this is your desire, then God has worked in your life. Then you are a believer. Then the Son of Righteousness, Jesus Christ, is shining with healing on your desires, on your will, on your heart, and giving you faith alone. If you say this morning, I think I see a little bit of light. I know something of this. Then cry out this morning, shine brighter, O Lord. Shine brighter and show me Jesus Christ, who is altogether perfect, my rock, my redeemer. And you really have a problem if you don't know anything about this. You have a big problem. You need to call on the Lord this morning and say, let the light shine. And you know, this is a God, a gracious and merciful God who can command the light to shine out of darkness and can shine in your heart to do what? To give you the knowledge of God's grace and the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. That's what he's able to give. He gave it to Paul, who speaks in Romans 1 and condemns the whole world through his letter outside of Jesus Christ. And he gave it to a sinner like David, who writes in Psalm 19. And he has given it to every believer here this morning. Can't he do it for you? Sure he can. Light shines. Points you to Jesus Christ, light of the world, of whom it said, and he that follows me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. That's his promise. Follow him. Listen to his voice. In another place it says, I am come a light into the world, that whosoever believeth on me should not abide, that is, stay, remain in darkness. The light shines. And the name of that light is Jesus Christ. He can save. Amen.